Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. I hope you had a chance to work on your goals today. I hope, if you don't have any goals, that you want to move forward and that you know what you would like to do, you just haven't set them as goals. Goals are very important. Moving forward is very important. Both of these things will help guide your life. Now, this episode is not like the other episodes. I'm not just going to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not sure if you will ever hear this, and I hope to God that this is loud enough. For some reason, the video yesterday just did not record that loudly. So, this episode is to Marjorie Taylor Greene, U.S. Representative from the 14th District in Georgia. I actually know the area. I lived for a short while in Hiram. So, here's what I have to say to you, Representative Greene. I believe that you are someone that has a chance to be more, I'm trying to think of what the right term would be, more effective. I think that you have a chance because of the district that you live in and the fact that you are a lightning rod for attacks from the liberal side of the political spectrum, that you have a chance to become far more than what you are. Now, mind you, I am not saying that I believe that you need to become more than a U.S. representative. Your role as a U.S. representative is exceedingly important. You honestly staying where you are in that sense is a good thing. Why? Because being a firebrand in the House of Representatives will help everybody. And I am saying that not because I don't want to see you become senator or president if you so wish. I am saying that because I honestly believe that you would be better in the role of U.S. representative as a firebrand there. The House gets a Republican majority on occasion. Not as much as it should be happening, but you have a chance to push the folks that are Republican. Now, you may not have, never have listened to my show before. If you pay attention to the history of the Republican Party is still the big tent party that it has always been. Even though the conservatives have gained a larger voice in the Republican Party, it is not a conservative party overall. It is a big tent party. It is the not Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is more cohesive in the sense that it follows the same political spectrum. Yes, there are people that will tell you, oh, the Republican Party is a conservative party and you have these Republicans in name only. No. You are in the big tent party. It is the only party that truly has a conservative movement in it. The conservative movement is still the primary pushing factor of it at this time, but you still have to deal with those Republicans who are not conservative. They have a habit of, even though they are not Democrat, they are part of the not Democrat wing of the party, they have a habit of voting for Democrat ideas. Why? Because they are not that far removed from being Democrat. They are in no way, shape, or form not that far removed from being Democrat. So, there is a need for someone who has leadership capabilities along with having firebrand capabilities. You have firebrand capabilities. You have shown that you have the instincts and the ability to have some leadership in the House of Representatives. Both of those things are good. I believe that you need to refine yourself. And when I say refine yourself, I believe that you have a lot of potential if you were to stay in Congress. The first thing that I will suggest to you, Madam Representative, is you need to make sure that you are fully connected to the people of your district at all times. When you get a chance, when you are there, go there and interact with the people. Don't interact via town halls. Don't just meet with the business people. Don't just meet with the donors. Meet with the people. Walk around the communities. When there is something going on, just walk around. You connecting with your community is important, because you staying connected to your community and to your district means that those voices in and around Washington, D.C. that will work to corrupt you will not have the ability to do so. On top of the fact that you being connected to your community means you don't have to worry when you have Democrats running against you. The Democrats can pour all kinds of money into that area, and all that it will become for the Democrat Party is a sinkhole. Saying all of that, remember that you have to make sure that you are doing these things, that you are making sure that you are connected to the people of your district at all times. So that is essential for everything else that I am about to say to work. Now, you're close enough to Southeast Tennessee that I know the area fairly decently, there is still the feeling of we don't want corrupt politicians there. If you go a few hours north of where you're from, you will come to Athens, Tennessee. Look up the Battle of Athens. Us East Tennesseans, us Tennessee rednecks, and that is what I am, is a Tennessee redneck, even though I did have spend some time in Georgia. You will understand this as you're from the area. Us Tennessee rednecks, and I know the Georgia rednecks are the same way, we don't appreciate corrupt politicians. In no way, shape, or form do we tolerate corruption. We don't like the government to begin with. The government takes our money, tells us what to do, and doesn't give us anything in return except for headaches. You understand this. You represent a district that understands that. So, you have the ability to fight the corruption in Washington, D.C. This is not like the ad for barbecue sauce, where they're talking about New York City. No, it's Washington, D.C. It ain't like anywhere else in this nation. So there will be times that you will feel the draw to move towards the power of D.C. Don't. Because you need to be the voice for your district. You need to be the voice for where I'm from. You need to be the voice for every American that sits there and works their tail end off, is forced to pay taxes on what they earn, forced to pay taxes on their homes that they have paid for, forced to pay sales taxes, property taxes, all kinds of taxes that are going for all these pet projects of politicians that don't listen to us. We understand your frustration and why you act out the way that you do. Now, I know that you were filling your oats after you got there to D.C., and I know that you ain't going to be losing your seat anytime soon. So, you need to take that energy now. You've got this nervous energy that you want to push out with. Don't. You need to start thinking in strategic terms now. It definitely looks like you will be staying in office. So, don't just think of the battle now. You are at a point that you need to think of the war. And that's what it is. It is a war that is being fought in this country because the liberals have an army. They want to claim that part of their army belongs to the Republican Party. But as a Southerner, I am well aware of the fact that the KKK will always be part of the Democrat Party. The KKK was the original violent arm of the Democrat Party. And the KKK still is part of the Democrat Party. The claims that they have gone to the Republican side is a lie. We know this. Then you have BLM. Then you have La Raza. And then you have the money people. We're not even going to go into all the different money people that are involved. We are at war because the Democrats want to fight. They are a violent group, and they use any acts that we do, even if it isn't violent, to show that we are violent, even though we are not. So, we have to fight this war in a far more intelligent manner. We have to fight this war, not with the one hand tied behind our back, no. We are conservative. We have greater intellect if we choose to use it. So, Representative Green, I think that there are two people that you need to study to refine how you will become a leader for the Republican Party, the conservative movement, and for America in a lot of ways. The first person that I believe that you need to really get to know is Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was so many things. He was a lawyer, politician, and a rebel. He was an anti-federalist at the beginning of the United States. Instead of being, even though he was friends with many of the Federalists, he was an anti-federalist. Now, there are some politicians today that try to denigrate his role in American history. Yes, they can't denigrate the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. But there is so much more to Patrick Henry. The first time that Patrick Henry really got noticed was as a young lawyer who actually had to go before his own father as a lawyer representing farmers who felt that they should not have to pay from their farms to the Anglican Church. Church of England is and was as much a part of the British government now as it was then. Farmers had to pay a certain percentage of their crops to the, or it wasn't a percentage, they had to pay a portion of what they grew to the Anglican pastor in the area. And that meant even when it was bad weather or bad crop season, they still had to pay. And if they didn't, then they could be taken to court. They could be sent to debtor's prison. Well, there had been some bad times. And farmers all over Virginia were having problems. It was called the Parson's Cause. That was the name that you look up to understand this about him. He had to try this case before his father. This was the first major case that he ever tried as a lawyer. But he had a flair for the theatrical. He got called upon. It was his time to give a speech. And he sat there in silence. He sat there in silence for a little while because everybody was paying attention to him. Nobody was looking away. They were thinking, oh, he's freaking out. Nope. He was drawing in all their attention. He was making sure he had 100% of their attention. And then he gave it with both barrels. Now, technically, he lost that trial. Technically. The immediate ruling, yes, was a loss for his clients. But the jury that heard the trial were far more on his side, but they were obeying the law. Why? The colonies did not have jury nullification like what we have in this nation. Hey, there's two parts to the Bill of Rights that people don't understand, but that they are there. Freedom of religion, sorry, made the wrong First Amendment clause. Freedom of religion, not separation of church and state like that sounds like, but freedom of religion. The Church of England was the only legal religious entity. Yes, there were Quakers in the colonies at the time. Yes, there were all kinds of religions. But the Church of England was part of the government, and it was the duly recognized religion of the time. No matter what colony you were in, even if you were a Catholic colony like Maryland, Church of England ruled. So, freedom of religion, not separation of church and state. Though the separation of church and state was necessary, religious freedom prevents the need to keep church and state separate. And jury nullification. Both are parts of the Bill of Rights. Both of those things are important. And both those things were fought for when Patrick Henry, the firebrand, disagreed with the Constitution because it did not have a Bill of Rights. He had been fighting for this for decades by the time that the Constitution came up to be ratified. He was against it because it didn't have a Bill of Rights. And guess what? We have a Bill of Rights. He was governor of Virginia several terms. Now, mind you, back then, they were only one-year terms, But Patrick Henry still was the governor of Virginia for several terms. Several modern historians will try to claim that he didn't go far enough in supporting George Washington, and George Washington disliked him for it. No. George Washington understood politics because he had been an elected official. So he knew what Patrick Henry was facing, and he knew that Patrick Henry worked his tail end off to make sure that the colonial military that got turned into the American military was given all that Virginia could give that Patrick Henry could scrounge up. Yes, Patrick Henry and George Washington disagreed on some of the politics of the time. But George Washington, with perhaps Washington not knowing, but it probably was known by Patrick Henry that he was close to death, Washington went to Prince Edward County in Virginia and asked Henry to be part of the cabinet. He was turned down, but it wasn't because of politics. Henry was trying to make sure that his family would be provided for. And he did. You should study Patrick Henry. Honestly, you will find that he is one of the more fascinating people of our founding fathers. Really, really interesting man. He was a firebrand and a leader. That is the first person that I believe would help you by you learning more about him, that he would help you be better on the firebrand side and as a leader. The next person that I believe that you should study is James Madison. Why? Because learning about him will teach you more about the early days of the House of Representatives and how politics works there. Understanding the beginning will help you understand how, while you're being there now, will help you understand the evolution, and I think that will help you walk the paths of the halls of Congress far better. I think that you will also learn far more about the Bill of Rights being introduced. There are so many things that he did while a U.S. representative that I think that you will find it will be good for you. James Madison was an intellect that was shaped by both Franklin and Jefferson. But he didn't agree with Jefferson on as many things. As I spoke about previously, the separation of church and state versus freedom of religion. Madison actually wanted the U.S. government to help pay so that people were taught religion better. I don't remember the full story of it all, but thankfully that was shot down. But that was Madison thought that there should be some involvement there. Yeah. Nope, didn't happen. But thank that was a good thing. But Madison at the same time, him and his wife led this country ably several times. They were leaders in so many different ways. So I believe that he is a good person for you to learn from. It's not as much as Patrick Henry, but James Madison is still an important part of our history. And I honestly believe that that you would learn something from him on how to shape what you were doing, and how to use the power that you have. Seriously, I believe that it would help you. Notice at no time have I complained about you. Yes, I have read all these stories about you. Literally, as I am speaking, I am looking at your wiki page, your Wikipedia page. You can tell that the Democrats made sure to paint you in the worst light possible. Now, the only thing on your Wikipedia page that is true that's on your Wikipedia page that saddens me a little bit. Yeah, Georgia Bulldog. I'm a Tennessee ball, so you're from Georgia, so I will give you that. I would rather sing Rocky Top than talk about the Ugga Bulldog. But the rest of your Wikipedia page is not something that you can tell that the Democrats control it. So I'm looking into you. But one of the reasons why I looked on your Wikipedia page, because I looked on your congress.gov page, and somebody needs to tell them that there needs to be better information put on there, which is what I was looking for, which is your committee assignments. There we go. I'm just saying the committee assignments was what I was looking for, and looking at your congress.gov page, yeah, that just not easily found there. So you are on the Committee of Homeland Security. For a firebrand in the current day, you got an awesome assignment. Must be because you know how to politic a little bit. You were also on the Committee on Oversight and Accountability. Wait a minute. Yet again, you must be pretty good at your politicking. You're painted as somebody who, I don't even want to begin with understanding what you're painted as. Most of this stuff is a bunch of silliness and makes me wonder what these people were thinking when they wrote the lies that they wrote about you. So, let's get back to why I am doing this broadcast. I do a daily broadcast, but I am looking at what you have done. You have a chance as a firebrand to also be a leader. You have shown that you can do that. You have shown that you can be a firebrand. You have shown through actions dealing with the Speaker of the House that you can be a leader, even though it is a behind-the-scenes leadership role. I have stated to my listeners that I am not a complete supporter of Trump. It isn't because I'm against MAGA or anything like that. I have a problem with cults of personality. I have problems with populist movements. So, it is not that I am against Trump for what he did while in office. There are things that happened while he was in office by his administration that I am intelligent enough to know that he couldn't have known everything that people in his administration did. So, that being said, I was not a fan of Jeff Sessions before President Trump put him in as Attorney General. I am really not a Jeff Sessions fan after he left being Attorney General. So, you will probably have a chance with this election to have a larger role on the executive branch. Please do not do that. Not because of my stances on Donald Trump, but because you will do far more good for this country where you are. I said that earlier, and I'm going to reiterate it probably a couple of more times. You are in a district that is solidly Republican. Okay, fine. That means that they will elect a Republican, and there will probably be a Republican that would be put into your position if you left by the governor, and then or a special election, one of the two. You really are far more valuable where you are. In the position that you hold, you are far more valuable yourself, not anybody else. You are that firebrand. You are a lightning rod. And you are safe with your election unless you do something completely stupid. And I would ask that you make sure that you don't do something completely stupid. You were unfortunately in a place that you can't do the redneck thing. You're from a redneck part of this nation. You can't look at the folks around you and go, "Hi, y'all, hold my beer." Well, I'm from Tennessee. It's more like, "Hey, y'all, hold my shine." And then go and do something that you should not do. Representative Boebert is somebody, while I consider you a serious politician who just needs some seasoning and an understanding of being strategic over being tactical, or tactical over strategic, however you wish to do things, but Representative Boebert, who you are supposed to be friends with, has made some of those, "Hey, y'all, hold my beer," kind of things. And she's gone a little buck wild for beans and barbecue. You can't do that. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, as much as I pay attention to the news, I was not aware that you had gotten a divorce while you were in office. I was actually kind of surprised that I didn't know that, because I try to keep up with people in Congress. So that means that you are able to keep your cool. You're able to keep your calm. You might have moments where you let your emotions out. But reading up on you the way that I have realized that picking you to be the first person I address was a good thing. Because you have shown that while, yes, you can be that firebrand, you also have shown that you have some brains in your head. And I wasn't surprised at that. The level of intellect that you have is a good thing. That means that when you start studying up on Patrick Henry or James Madison, if you do that, I am not saying that you will, but it would be good for you to do that. I am saying that you will understand how these two men helped shape America. And by doing that, it should be able to help you be better in Congress. We need you to help shape the House of Representatives. You need to be able to sit there and get the members of the GOP, primarily those claiming to be conservative, to vote in a conservative manner. Right now, most of Congress never votes conservative. even those claiming to be conservative, don't vote conservative. You need a vote for freedom. Before you do anything else, you need a vote for freedom. And that's the conservative way. With every bill, you need to take a look at it and go, will this help freedom in this country? And if it does, then you need to fight for it. You have the unique position to be able to do that. Because not only do you fight for it with your vote, you should stand there and make sure that other Republicans do the same thing. And if they don't, call them out. Seriously, call them out. At first, when planning this, I was thinking, hey, you need to back off the speaker a little bit. He's having to deal with politics. You got him in that role. He's one of the more conservative people. As I am recording this, this is after the vote on FISA. That shows that you have good instincts. Wow. Have those good instincts not just on the speaker role, though. There are other people that are Republican that have the ability to make those kind that or to deal that kind of damage to other areas of this country. We need you to be the person that calls them out. You staying in the House of Representatives may not seem all that glamorous, but it is where the people's voice is supposed to be heard, and you can do that. You can stand there and be the champion for freedom. You can stand there and be the person that stands against the corruption that is the Democrat Party. Now, I don't agree with your every stance. If your stance is still that the red and blue states need to separate, while, yes, I am not a fan of California in any way, shape, or form, it's still part of the United States. Every part of the United States has its own identity. It's how we manage that identity as a whole. And so no, I don't agree with you that we should separate. What we need are for conservatives that stand out, that help fight the lies that are told about the conservative movement. And by being that steady bulwark who has eyes on them, you have the ability to change public opinion. No matter how often the Democrats attack you, no matter how many times that you are misquoted, the American public will watch you. That is what you are necessary for the Republican Party, for the conservative movement. The Republican Party is not conservative, as I said. But they aren't the Democrats, and so they need some strength there. You can be both. Yes, you will probably have a chance to run for Senate or have some role in the executive branch. Some spot as a secretary of whatever department that you're offered or whatever, but the power and ability that you can have as a member of the House of Representatives is untold. Ron Paul, who is someone that I've listened to almost all my life, who I have taken the time to understand. Look at what he was able to do while as a U.S. representative. James Madison, who I am wanting you to do a more in-depth study of. Pay attention to what he was able to do as a U.S. representative. Now, Abraham Lincoln didn't stay in the House of Representatives all that long. He was never a senator. He was a U.S. representative and a few other things before he became president. But he still, his first federal level education was in the House of Representatives. It is not a bad place to be. You can affect this country in more ways where you are at, so I would like you to stay there. As a redneck, I see you as someone, even though you, looking at your life, you seem to have had a little bit more privilege than my redneck self from East Tennessee. As the young folks say, privilege. But you're from a redneck part of the state, and I can guarantee that you have had a lot of fried chicken, a lot of baked beans, a lot of cornbread, probably quite a bit of mashed taters, probably some fried okra a time or two in your life. You have probably, because of what your age is, at some of your point, by the way, I'm only a year younger than you, so don't think that I'm saying anything bad. You are not old. I am saying this because of your when you were born and your age, you have probably gone out into a field where a giant bonfire has been lit, and you have probably drank a few alcoholic beverages while enjoying yourself around said bonfire. And there are probably no pictures for some of the times that you have done that. Thank God. Our generation, if there had been more cameras, yeah, things would have gone badly for us in the current day, with pictures being everywhere. You are from a state that even the folks that are highfalutin in the Republican Party know what it is like to experience those things that are redneck. So I don't doubt that you can understand what I am saying when I tell you that there are folks that are redneck that can look to you as someone that can move, that can make a difference while still being somewhat redneck. Now, I don't know how entirely redneck you are. That I have not studied. But you have to have some redneck in you. Be that voice for the rednecks of America. The rednecks of America, the nurses, the ditch diggers, the people that grow the food that everybody eats in this country. Those are the rednecks. You are from a part of Georgia that got Mayfield's milk. The yellow jugged milk that tasted so good. And you probably knew a few of the dairy farmers, depending on how country you are. You probably knew a few of the dairy farmers that provided the milk that went to Athens, Tennessee for that Mayfield's milk. That entire process was a redneck process. That is your district's history. That is my area's history. And you should uphold that history because that is a good history. That is a history of folks that are willing to work hard for this nation. And they are being denigrated by this government. And you, Madam Representative, are someone that can stand in between the federal government and those people that work to provide food and services to this country. That is your position. If you're wondering why I have been sitting here meandering in my own way, but I am sitting here telling you, you need to stay where you are. You need to learn how to be the best U.S. representative that you can be. The reason is because you understand us rednecks. I'm from East Tennessee. I'm from Southeast Tennessee. Well, I was born in Middle Tennessee, but I grew up in East Tennessee, Southeast Tennessee. I have spent time in Northwestern Georgia. I've also spent time in Southern Georgia. Because you should remember the flooding that occurred there in 94. I was at the Marine Corps Logistics Base. I was stationed at the Marine Corps Logistics Base, Albany, Georgia, when that happened. My time in Tennessee and my time in Georgia, it's intertwined in my life. I might be in Virginia. I have three states that my life is intertwined with. I have spent some time in North Carolina, sure. But Tennessee is my home. Georgia, I have spent quite a bit of time in. And Virginia is where my mother's side of the family is from. I'm a Southerner through and through. I'm a redneck through and through. And when I tell you that I want to see you help protect the history of where I am from. While, yes, it is not all good history in the South, it is a history of people that are willing, no matter what their skin color, to work to provide for their family. If you are Southern, you learn early on, while, yes, there are some folks in the South, mostly white folks in the South, that get welfare. There are still a lot of us that are willing to put in the work to make money. That are willing to work 60, 70, 80 hours. We need representation at all times in Congress. Through your actions, you have shown Representative Green that you can represent us. You have shown that you do not want our tax dollars to be wasted on garbage. You have shown that you are able to think on your feet. There are those of us that are watching you. Okay, there might be a few folks that are watching you that find you attractive. You're an attractive blonde. Okay, fine. Okay, yes, I find you attractive. I have a tendency towards blondes, but that doesn't make you a Barbie doll. If you go back and listen to some of my other things, you will find that I talk about there are Barbie dolls and there are Ken dolls that are in Congress. And I talk about that they're attractive to whoever that they're interested in. And I talk about these things. Well, Barbie dolls are primarily blondes. Of course, you know, the dolls that you buy in the stores are primarily blonde. Yes, they've started making changes. So if you go back, I was just thinking about this. If you go back, I do not believe that you are a Barbie doll. I believe you are serious. So if you do go back and you hear, or if you listen to any of my future broadcast, no, I don't believe that you are a Barbie doll. You are attractive, you're a blonde, fine, whatever. But you're not a Barbie doll. You are somebody who's giving voice to people who are denigrated by the powerful in this country. You have a chance to stay in a position and protect those that are willing to defend this country, that are willing to feed this country, that are willing to do all that it takes to make sure this country is great at all times. You are in that position. There are others that have gotten elected that don't do that. Take a look at Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham could be as conservative as Tim Scott. Tim Scott's a good person, in my opinion. But Lindsey Graham? No. Lindsey Graham is somebody that you want to avoid. You are in the position right now where you need to decide, am I going to stay conservative my entire time that I am in Congress? And I would ask you that you do. You are in a conservative area, and they will appreciate it. Walk among those people that you represent, your constituents. Every time that you are able to make it back to Georgia. While, yes, this particular redneck will be screaming, "Go Big Orange," I am well aware of the fact that you will be having to wear red and black and be shouting for UGA. Do that. Go to your district and become better friends with everybody there. Listen to them. Because I know the area that you represent. It is like all the other areas in this country that are willing to work, that the young people are willing to go into the military and defend this country, that are willing to do what it takes to work for this country. You are representing them, and by representing them to the best of your ability, you are representing the rest of us that have those same ideals. Do not lose track of your home. Do not lose track of what it means to be that Georgia cracker redneck. No matter how often they attack you, remember that part of yourself. I thank you. If you actually do listen to this, Representative Green, I thank you for listening to me. I don't know if you will, but I hope that you do. Now, for the rest of you, this is I'm on Rumble and YouTube and Podbean, and you listen to me on one of those three, or because of one of those three, and I am Redneck Thinker on those three. Like, subscribe, comment. I think that's what the young folks are saying. I would like to have a bigger audience because I want to do this more often, and I want your voice to come through me. Yes, I do listen to comments that you make on my videos and my news articles, so I want to do this more often, and I will do this more often. So, like, subscribe, comment, tell me what you think. Please tell me what you think. If you are a marketer, do not tell me that you can help me. I am not paying you money. I have a book. It is at the website itch.io. It is the Founding Fathers, the Founding Freedoms Primer. My talk on Madison and Henry. I'd already known about them before I compiled this book. It is their words. It is not my words. It is the words of the founders of this country. William Blackstone has his words in there because he was a great legal thinker of the time and is still well read. The Blackstone commentaries are amazing for legal thought. So you can go to itch.io, Founding Freedoms Primer. Just look up Freedom VN, Freedom Victor November. It actually stands for visual novel. Look that up. One of those two up. You can download it for free. You can donate money or you can just download it for free. Don't worry about the donation. I do writings at redneckthinker.blogspot.com. I think that's how okay, let me get over here. View blog. It is redneckthinker.blogspot.com. I was right. I sometimes question myself. And I am on MeWe, Twitter, and Facebook. I am on Twitter as Redneck Thinker. I am on MeWe. You can go to my group there. You will probably be the first person to go on there other than myself. It is the Writings of Paul Shannon. That is my name, Paul Shannon. Or you can go to Facebook and go to the Ramblings of Paul Shannon. That is how to connect with me. I have a Patreon. People need money to survive. Patreon.com/freedomvn. You can also be the first at that too, but either way, that is my shilling for myself. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it gave you reason to think. And I also hope that you can figure out things to tell me that you want to tell other members of Congress. Thank you. This is Redneck Thinker. Have a good day.